मुखं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघयते गिरिं यत्कृपातं वंदे श्रीगुरु दीनतारणं परमानंदमाधवं श्रीचैतन्यईश्वरं। Okay, so we're reading from Canto 7, Chapter 3, titled Hiranyakashipu's. We are titled Hiranyakashipu's plan to become immortal. And we are reading text number 32. Please chant. Tatvataha param na param apya. अन्येजन येजक च किञ्चिद् व्यतिरिक्तमस्ति विद्याः कलास्ते तनवश्च सर्वा हिरण्यगर्भोऽसि बृहत्त्रि पृष्ठः। This verse only, no? Let me search that unchanging word. Huh? It is there in the previous purport. Okay. Translation. There is nothing separate from you, whether it be better or lower, stationary or moving. The knowledge derived from the Vedic literatures like the Upanishads and from all the sublimes of the original Vedic knowledge form your external body. You are Hiranyagarbha, the reservoir of the universe, but nonetheless, being situated as a supreme controller, you are transcendental to the material world, which consists of the three modes of material nature. The word param means the supreme cause and aparam means the effect. The supreme cause is the supreme personality of Godhead and the effect is the material nature. The living entities, both moving and non-moving, are controlled by the Vedic instructions in art and science. And therefore, they are all expansions of the external energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the center as the super soul. The Brahmandas, the universes, exist during the duration of a breath of the Supreme Lord. Yasyaika nishvasita kalam atavalambhya jivanti loma vilaja jagadandanathaha. Thus, they are also within the womb of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mahavishnu. Nothing, therefore, is separate from the Supreme Lord. This is the philosophy of Achintya Bheda Bhed Tattva. Here, this personality, Hiranyakashipu, he is glorifying Brahma because he wants something from Brahma. So he's glorifying very nicely. And this glorification is not completely true glorification. He's just flattering. Because whatever he's speaking here, most of it does not apply to Brahma at all. It applies to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna or Vishnu. And here we see that when it comes to Brahma, he's saying that you're transcendental to material world, which consists of three modes of material nature. But this is not the case. So Brahma is not transcendental to this material modes of nature. In fact, there have been cases where he has been put badly. He has been humiliated very, very badly in different circumstances. Because he was under the three modes of material nature. It's only Krishna who is above the three modes of material nature. In fact, just to prove this point, Brahma has been bewildered at various instances. Like for example, when Bhrigumuni, he wanted to test who is Supreme Personality of Godhead. He went to Brahmaloka first. Then he went to Kailasa. And then he went to Vaikuntha. So when it comes to Brahmaloka, when he first goes to Brahmaloka, what he does is he doesn't pay obeisance. And he is just standing straight in front of Brahma. And Brahma, just seeing that he is not paying obeisance, he is my son, but he is not paying obeisance, he became angry, and that anger was in the mind, on the manasa level. Now who can become angry? A person who is in mode of ignorance. And then this is not to pull down Brahma, but this is what Brahma did to prove that he is not supreme. So once what happened is he got attracted to his own daughter. He got attracted to his own daughter. But obviously, you know, when that attraction came, so immediately Brahma gave up that particular body and he assumed a new body. So getting attracted to someone else is basically mode of passion, mode of passion. And then all these Vedic things, what Brahma does, is a mode of goodness. Only bhakti is in the mode of transcendental goodness or pure goodness. So only devotees are on that platform. If Brahma is on the platform of devotional service, then yes, he will be above the three modes of material nature. But if he is a normal Brahma, where he's just taking care of this worldly things and things like that, then you know we cannot say that he is above the three modes of material nature. Because we have many instances where this is told. And now here we have another point which is said that the supreme cause is the supreme personality of Godhead and the effect is material nature. So, Supreme Lord is the cause of everything. Sarva karana karanam. And Krishna also says, Aham sarvasya prabhavo. Matta sarva pravartate. Everything comes from me, be it spiritual, be it material, everything comes from me. That's what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 10.8. But now the thing is, people in general, they give a lot of importance to material nature. They say that material nature is everything. So these are scientists or these are the non-believers of God. But the ones who believe in some supreme existence or some supreme personality, so such people, the demigod worshippers, they consider Shakti as supreme. Adi Shakti, Para Shakti and so on and so forth. They consider her as supreme. But here it's very clearly mentioned that Lord is the supreme cause and Shakti or material nature is the effect that is seen. So nowadays, lots of concoction is there when it comes to this as well. Because the Puranas which are there in Tamasic Puranas which are there, they talk about Shakti, they talk about worshipping Kali and you know other energies of hers. So yes, they do talk about that. But then people have taken it in parampara looks like. So some of their forefathers might be worshipping some Shakti by following Tamasic Purana. So that's what has come in parampara for many people. But when it comes to breaking the cycle of birth and death, Sattvic Purana or Shuddha Sattvic Purana, that is our Bhagavatam, that has to be read. In Sattvic Purana, Vishnu worship is given. And it's Shuddha Sattva, that is Srimad Bhagavatam, only and only Vishnu and Krishna worship is given. That too, Bhagavatam just talks about one thing, that is loving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in this way, we see that Supreme Personality is the cause, no doubt. But the effect is the material nature. Material nature can never be the cause. Never. In fact, there are instances where people debate saying material nature is the cause of life. And Prabhupada gives this analogy in one of the plays where he says, in the purport, he says that when the scorpions, they lay eggs in the rice and when the scorpions are born out of those eggs, so people in general, they might see, oh, scorpions are born out of rice. That's what they would say. Because they have not seen scorpions laying eggs in the rice grains. So in this way, we see that people in general, they just look around and say, oh, material nature is doing everything. But it's not the case. There's a scorpion which has laid the eggs in the rice and then the eggs have hatched and scorpions have come out of that. So who is the cause? The scorpion is the cause. And not the setup, not the rice. Similarly, when it comes to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna himself says, Aham Bija Pradapita. I am the seed-giving father, he says. So he is the one who gives the seed and those seeds are actually nourished here in the material nature. And what is that nourishment? Nourishment is three modes of material nature. That is used to nourish this existence of people in general. So, as Gita course or Gita students, you know, we shouldn't be deviated by various people saying various things. We should be focused understanding who is the cause and who is the effect. So this cause and effect principle should be clearly understood. There shouldn't be any doubt here. Because as soon as you understand who is the cause, then automatically it's very easy for us to surrender to the cause. So currently what people are doing is trying to surrender to the effect. Actually, they don't surrender also. Mm-hmm. I had one question in my initial days. It's a foolish question, but I had one. So I said, you know, I asked my mentor. So Amarendra was my mentor. So I asked him, it was Sunday class, 2-3 people, you know, would be sitting at that time in his class. We were fortunate like that. So I asked a question that, see, Maya Shakti, Shakti of Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we say that, you know, we have to serve Vaishnava. So she's a Vaishnavi. So the ones who are doing sense gratification, they're serving Vaishnavi. They're serving Maya. Correct? No. See, anyone who is doing sense gratification are serving Maya. Then what is the problem? Then they should actually go back home back to Godhead. They should attain Krishna because they're serving a Vaishnavi by doing sense gratification. A very nice answer he gave. He said that, see, when someone is doing sense gratification, so when someone is doing sense gratification, he is not thinking that I'm serving Maya. He is doing sense gratification for his own pleasure. If suppose someone does sense gratification for the pleasure of Maya, then it's understood that he's serving. So no one is serving Maya. No one is serving Maya. In fact, Maya is serving everyone by making everything available. We chutku living entities, we are little. We are 1/10,000 tip of the hair. Balagra shata bhagasya shatada kalpitasya cha. That's what is our small size. 1/10,000 tip of the hair. So to make it more practical, take the tip of your hair and then make it into 100 parts, divide it into 100 parts, and then take one part of it and then again divide it into 100 parts. That part now is what is the size of ours. And what are we doing? We desire. And then Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Supreme Personality of Godhead, that personality, he serves us by sanctioning. He says, okay, go ahead. And then the Maya Shakti, the Shakti of the Lord, now she executes our desires. It's like, you know, you're in the house and your maidservant is there in the kitchen and you get me a cup of tea. That's what we're doing with Maya Shakti also. That's what we all are doing with Maya Shakti. When any of us, when we desire for sense gratification, we are just doing this. Wo leke aao. Wo leke aao. Nahi, bahut ho gaya. Kyun itna der kyun kar rahe? Jaldi leke aao. Get it fast. Why are you delaying? Can you imagine what sort of arrogant living entities we are? When we go deeper in philosophy, we understand that how arrogant we are. till that point, we'll always feel we are down to earth, we are humble and things like that. Yes. So, but the point is that anyone who worships the cause, anyone who worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that person will never desire for sense gratification. Never. So that person will always be worshipping Krishna. He'll never be getting into the worship of any other Devi Devtas. And more importantly, that person will not be making other Devi Devtas as a servant. He'll become the servant of everyone. So it is said that anyone who worships Krishna becomes a servant of everyone because he does not take service from anyone. So this point is very clear. So it is said that when someone worships Krishna, so at that time, when he's servant of Krishna, he's also the servant of Krishna's energies. So worshipping Krishna, as we have already told, worshipping Krishna is like the watering of the root. So in a tree, when we water the roots, the entire tree gets flourished. When we feed the stomach, the entire body gets nourished. So in this way, when we worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even the effect is satisfied. You know, the effect will get satisfied. That is the material nature. So in this way here, Hiranyakashipu is saying that you are the cause. You know, he's telling Brahma, you are the cause. Why you are the cause, he's saying? Now he's going to ask benedictions, right? You are the cause, so you can give me benedictions. So every statement, you can add this. Whenever he's glorifying something, end of the statement, you can say, because you are going to give me the benedictions. That's what is the glorification all about here. Text 33. Oh my Lord, being changelessly situated in your own abode, you expand your universal form within this cosmic manifestation, thus appearing to taste the material world. You are Brahman, the super soul, the oldest, the personality of God. See, now this person literally, he is now chastising Brahma. See, when someone is not qualified and you glorify something which he does not have, suppose a person is not beautiful, very ugly. And then you go and say, you are the most beautiful person. And that person knows he's ugly. And you're saying, you are the most beautiful person. So now that those words are not glorification. Those words are actually blasphemy or chastisement. So that's what Hiranyakashipu is doing. He's actually chastising Brahma left and right. Or he's blaspheming Brahma. So in this way, we see here that he's saying that you're changelessly situated in your own abode. Now we discussed about only Lord is changeless. Everyone else in this world change, including Brahma. Including Brahma. And then you expand your universal form within the cosmic manifestation, thus appearing to taste the material world. Now this is what Supreme Personality of Godhead does. So Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, 9th chapter, 4th and 5th verse, where he says that all the living entities are situated within me, and at the same time, I am situated in them. Now, don't ask me to give a purport on this or explanation. It will take a long time. So Krishna is situated in each and every living entity as Paramatma. Whereas when it comes to the entire world, that is situated in the body of Krishna. And the example for that is Krishna eating dirt. So in the pastime where Krishna is doing this Mrida Bhakshan Leela, so he goes and eats mud or dirt. And then Balram and his friends, they go and complain to Yashoda. And then Yashoda comes and then she's worried. Till the point this person was stealing makhan from others' place, it was still okay. This person is eating mud now. Then she went and then she's asking Krishna, did you eat mud? And mud is all over face and he's saying, He's not speaking because still mud is there inside the mouth. He's not speaking. And then, Yashoda Maya is saying, but all your friends, including your own brother, is saying that you have eaten dirt. Then Krishna is making face as if, no, they are all lying. And then Mother Yashoda is saying, your friends can lie, but how come your brother is lying? And then finally, all that happens, all the discussion happens through expressions only Krishna is speaking. And then finally, Mother Yashoda says, open your mouth. Open your mouth. And now Krishna, he became so fearful that he manifested the universe in his mouth. And when he opened his mouth, and Mother Yashoda peeped inside the mouth, and she said, and she sees the entire creation in his mouth. And that creation was getting zoomed in. And that becomes a universe. And then it becomes a solar system. And then it becomes the earth. And then finally, it becomes Bharat Varsha, and in that, she sees Vrindavan and she sees herself looking into the mouth of Krishna. So everything is there in Krishna. Everything exists in Krishna. So when it comes to this glorification that Hiranyakashipu is doing, so that is valid for Krishna. And then he says that you're the oldest, but we know who is the oldest. Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachit Ananda Vigraha Anadi. Who is oldest? Krishna is oldest. And who is saying this? Brahma is saying. So Hiranyakashipu is calling Brahma as Anadi. But here, we understand that Brahma, in Brahma Samhita, he is saying, you are Anadi, O Krishna. Anadir Adir Govinda. Anadi Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. Krishna, you are the oldest person. But still, you look young. Just 15 years, some months. Purport. It is said that the absolute truth appears in three features, namely impersonal Brahman, localized, super soul, and ultimately the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. Now, I'm sure all of you are very much thorough with this concept of Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan. The cosmic manifestation is a gross material body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who enjoys the taste of the material mellows by expanding his parts and parcels, the living entities who are qualitatively one with him. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, however, is situated in the Vaikuntha planets, where he enjoys the spiritual mellows. Therefore, the one absolute truth, Bhagavan, pervades all by his material cosmic manifestation, the spiritual Brahman effulgence, and his personal existence as the Supreme Lord. So when Supreme Lord is doing, he's there in everyone's heart, that doesn't mean that now Goloka is vacant. He's busy doing his pastimes there. His pastime will never end. He's busy doing his pastimes there. And when he's busy doing his pastimes there, with his other incarnations and his energies, he's taking care of this entire cosmic manifestation. Now it's very difficult for us to comprehend also. How come one person at two places? How is it possible? No, I cannot expand. So how, Krishna also cannot expand. Are, who are you and who is Krishna? Huge difference. We are Anu and Krishna is Vibhu. He is ocean and we are drop. So it's a huge difference. So when it comes to Krishna, he's there in Goloka Vrindavan. At the same time, he's doing his pastime in Brahma Vrindavan. So currently also at this particular moment, Krishna will be doing his pastime in some of the other universes. It is there. There are many, many universes. So every single moment, it is described that every single moment, Krishna appears in one of the other universes. And in other, and some universes, he'll be winding up his pastimes. So you can imagine how many universes are there. Every moment this is happening. Every moment. So it is said that when someone perfects his life, so first, apprentice has to be done. So that is done in the material world wherever Krishna is doing his leelas. So the Jivatma is sent there first. Go and assist Krishna here in this pastimes. And then the Jivatma then goes with Krishna back home, back to Gaur, to Goloka Vrindavan. But anyways, wherever Krishna is there, that is Goloka Vrindavan. So there is a be it in material world or be it spiritual world. So Vrindavan is anyways not material, it is transcendental. So in this way we see that Krishna is there in Goloka doing his pastimes. Then he himself is there in different universes doing his pastimes. And then he himself is present in everyone's heart, inspiring everyone about their past desires. And he's there also in each and every atom. Andanta Paramanu is there in every single atom. Andantarasya Paramanu Chayantarastam is there in each and every atom. Wow. Isko kehte Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the description of Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, anyone who says, I am Supreme Personality of Godhead, Prabhupada says that kick that person wearing shoes. If you are really Supreme Personality of Godhead, do all this and show. Then you are Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lying on the bed in the hospital and saying, it's my Leela. Such a person should be killed actually. Or some corona should be put inside his mouth. So here we understand who is Supreme Personality of Godhead. See, whenever we read the description, at that time we will actually understand that how great is Supreme Personality of Godhead and how small we all are. So that is the reason every time when we read these descriptions, we have to analyze what is my position. Right? So like for example, sometimes people ask how to become humble. So just imagine we are there in the middle of the ocean and nothing is there around, only water. How small we'll feel. Or you're standing in front of a very huge mountain, say Himalayan ranges, you're standing just below on the ground and you're looking at the Himalayas. How small we'll feel. Or if the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by his own sweet will, if he manifests his universal form in front of us, which he manifested in front of Arjuna, how chutku will feel? Will be extremely small, tiny, will be tiny. So whenever we become proud, this is what we have to analyze. Now, who is Supreme Personality of Godhead and who am I? And this comparison will make us humble. I'm chutku. I am nothing. I'm chutku and trying to act as, really big, right? So in this way, we see here that who is Supreme Personality of Godhead? Who is there in each and every aspect of life? You take up anything in this world, anything, you'll find Supreme Personality of Godhead. In fact, one of the scientists, theistic scientist, he says that science is like a glass of water. And when a person dives deep in this glass, so finally at the bottom, he'll find God. Very nice quote. But people who are superficial, they will never understand about the complications of this world. And that person will never be able to understand that this complicated world cannot be made by mortal being, nor it can come by itself. So in this way, anyone who goes deep in any aspect of life, not just any particular subject, any aspect of life, when a person goes deep in that, be it say science, be it science, be it chemistry, physics, biology, whatever, engineering also, get into that. Or someone really masters even the art of dance. It goes deep in that. Or when it comes to singing, someone goes deep in singing also. Every single place when the person goes deeper and deeper and deeper, finally he has to conclude that this beautiful, wonderful creation cannot come by itself. God has created. And if he's a devotee, then finally he'll find God also in that research. So in this way, we see that Krishna is situated everywhere. And this last line is very important, where he says that one absolute truth, Bhagavan, he pervades all by his material cosmic manifestation. First, then second, by the spiritual Brahman effulgence. And third, by his personal existence as Supreme Lord. He is there as this material world. Second, he is there as the effulgence coming out from his body, that is Brahman. And third is, he is there as Paramatma in everyone's heart. So let's go to the next shloka. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme, who in his unlimited, unmanifested form has expanded the cosmic manifestation, the form of the totality of the universe. He possesses external and internal energies and mixed energy called the marginal potency. Chalo, finally, he is speaking about us, which consists of all living entities. The Lord is endowed with unlimited potencies. Parashya Shaktir Vividhaiva Shruyate, which are summarized as three, namely external, internal, and marginal. The external potency manifests this material world, the internal potency manifests the spiritual world, and the marginal potency manifests the living entities, who are mixtures of internal and external. The living entity, being part and parcel of Parabrahman, is actually internal potency, but because of being in contact with material energy, he is an emanation of material and spiritual energies. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is above the material energy and is engaged in spiritual pastimes. The material energy is only an external manifestation of his pastimes. So there are three energies. I don't know if you have discussed any time this concept of three energies. So there is something called external energy of the Lord, internal energy of the Lord, and marginal energy of the Lord. So whatever we are seeing in this world, that is external energy of the Lord. And whatever we will see when we go to spiritual world is internal energy of the Lord. And who are we? We belong to marginal category. Na ghar ka, na ghat ka. We are nor here nor there. We are somewhere in between. So it's like you can imagine a wall, and we are standing on a wall. One side is spiritual world, one side is material world. And our current position is, we are leaning towards the material world. That's what is our current position. So that is the reason we consider ourselves as this body. We are considering ourselves as material. That is the reason. So when a person practices devotional service, so from this position, he starts aligning and coming back to the spiritual aspect. And then he is under the shelter of internal energy of the Lord, that is Srimati Radharani. But in the material world, people are under the external energy of the Lord, that is Durga Shakti. They are there under Durga Shakti, right? So in this way, we see that what is our position, what is our quality or existence? We are marginal. Neither ke nor ke. We are somewhere in between. This also goes on to say that we have an option to choose what we want. Do we want Maya or do we want Krishna or no, Srimati Radharani? Whom do we want? So Maya or Radha Krishna? So this is what is the decision that a living entity has to make. And a living entity, most of the time, he says, option B, that is Maya. And he remains with Maya. And to such an extent, Maya Devi is saying, go from here. And the living entity is saying, no, 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 no. And he is holding Maya's hand. And now, when that same living entity starts practicing bhakti, so still now, he's not out of Maya. He's still in the Maya only. But sometimes he comes to Krishna. Like in Bhagavatam class, when hammering is done, so we come back, I'm a spirit soul, living entity, marginal energy, etc., etc. So sometimes we come to Krishna, sometimes. In the entire day, you just analyze or try to make a note how many minutes we remember Krishna, it will be a few minutes. Or max to max, say 4 or 5 hours out of 24 hours. That's max. But most of the time, you know, we are there in Maya. Most of the time we are there in Maya, right? So this is what is called as taking shelter of Maya Shakti all the time. All the time taking shelter of Maya Shakti. And, you know, trying to enjoy, you know, in this material world completely. So when a devotee starts becoming Krishna conscious, so sometimes in Krishna, sometimes. But now the devotee understands, oh, I'm in Maya. So at that time, the devotee says, leave me, leave me, leave me. He's telling Maya. But actually, Maya Shakti is like, what? What leave me? Are you're holding my hand. So we are actually holding Maya and we're saying, leave me, leave me, leave me. Are we are holding Maya. Maya is not holding us. You know? So we have to give up. We have to leave the hand of Maya Shakti. It's not that Maya Shakti will leave us. She's anyways using her trident and trying her best to trouble us and, you know, send us back home, back to God. She's trying her best. But we are so happy, even with this trident. She's poking us and we are like, aha, so nice. Do more. That is what is our current situation. So as devotees, we have to understand one thing, that what is lacking in us is taking shelter of Krishna. That is what is lacking in us. So it's not that we are lacking in, or Maya Devi is actually holding us very tightly. It's like we are holding her tightly. We want to do sense gratification. We are holding her tightly. We are actually giving her directions. We are actually giving her order. Execute this, execute that. I want to enjoy this. I want to eat that. Now I want to do this. I want to do that. So we are engaging Maya Shakti in our service. That's how arrogant we are. And we are holding Maya. We are making her our servant. That's what we are doing. So as devotees, what we have to do is take complete shelter of Krishna. So when we take complete shelter of Krishna, so at that time, we actually give up the Maya. We give up the external energy of the Lord and we take shelter of the internal energy of the Lord. And the day we take shelter of internal energy of the Lord, we will be happy, completely happy. Because our nature is Sat, Chit, Ananda. Sat means eternal, Chit means full of knowledge, and Ananda means full of happiness. And this world, this entire world, you know, which we are holding is Asat, is temporary. Second, Achit, it's an ignorance. And third, it's Nirananda, there is no Ananda in this world. But we are holding it very tightly. And then we are saying, oh, I'm not happy in this world. And how will you be happy? How can you be happy in this world? This world is termed as Nirananda. It's Dukkhalayam. How can a person be happy in this world? So a living entity in this world can never be happy. Never. Even if he starts walking upside down, he can never be happy. I mean to say, if he starts doing anything in this world, he can never be happy. Never. But still, the person will go into that. But when someone takes the shelter of Krishna, now since Krishna is Sachidananda, internal energy of the Lord is Sachidananda, we are also Sachidananda, compatibility is there. So we'll be happy. But here there is no compatibility. There's no compatibility, and the problem is we don't want to give divorce also. That is our problem. We want to live here only. We want to have tight bonding with Maya Shakti. We want to be here. That's what, you know, we understand when we say that external energy, marginal energy, and internal energy. So we have an option. We have an option. Every living entity has an option to choose Maya or to choose Radha Krishna. We have an option to choose either of the two. But unfortunately, because of the strong samskaras from many, many lifetimes, we end up choosing Maya every lifetime. When we were in the womb, so at that time, Krishna preaches us very nicely about this outside world that's very dangerous, this and that, etc., etc., etc. And then the living entity, he says that, oh Lord, please save me from this womb. I'm burning in this womb. I'll die. Please save me. And then Krishna, and then he says, if you save me, I promise once I come out of the womb, I will do your bhakti. So this is what is the deal that is done in the womb with Krishna. And as soon as the living entity comes out of the womb, so what happens? Then he's there in the lap of the mother. He forgets Krishna. Then only mummy. Only that happens. Nothing else. He forgets Krishna. And finally, again, when some devotee enters someone's life, then again, this memory is revived. Bhul gaya? Kya promise kiya tha Krishna ko? Bhul gaya? Chalo, wapis aao. Come to Gita course. Mataji, Prabhuji, why you didn't come for the class? That devotee does this job. That devotee does this job saying, where are you? Why are you not coming? Shopping baad mein karo? Abhi kya? Abhi padhi aapko shopping. Saturday evening only you have to do shopping. Sunday evening only you have to do shopping. Do later. It's okay. Do it in the morning times. But come to the class. So basically, these devotees who have entered our life, they are the agents of Krishna who literally pull us from Maya. Nikal yahan se. Let's come out. Come out. This is what devotees do. This is what devotees do. And then when a devotee does that, and when we also, we are in accordance with what the devotees are doing, or we are helping the devotee, or we are trying to help them out to do whatever they're doing, that is removing us from the Maya, at that time we actually come to the internal energy. And the best example is, as soon as we come in the devotee association, we feel so happy. Why? Because there the holy names are chanted, we talk about Krishna, and we see the beautiful form of Krishna, and all the devotees who are practicing sincerely, they hold Krishna in the heart. And that is the reason, as soon as we come in the association of devotees, we feel very happy, because that is the place where internal energy exists. Right. So in this way, we have to be very, very, very grateful to those personalities who are trying to pull us out from this Maya Shakti. Most of the time, they are unsuccessful. Those devotees who are trying their best to pull us out of Maya Shakti, most of the time, they are unsuccessful. Because we are not willing. No, we are not assisting them. But when a devotee understands this from Srimad Bhagavatam, that I am stuck in the external energy, and I have an option to go to the internal energy. And when they start assisting the devotees, they can actually come out. They can, when they start cooperating, cooperate is the right word. When they start cooperating with the devotees, they will be pulled out from Maya Shakti and they'll be placed in Krishna Shakti. That is Srimati Radharani. So in this way, we understand that what is external energy, internal energy, and we, marginal energy, who have this option of either to choose external or to choose internal. So this is the concept of external, internal, and marginal potency. So if you have any doubts on this, you know, you are free to ask, and we'll go to the next shloka. 35. Oh my Lord, now he comes to the point. Oh my Lord, oh best of the givers of benediction, if you will kindly grant me the benediction I desire, please let me not meet death from any of the living entities created by you. Abhi aaya na line pe. Iske liye itna sab natak kiya usne. Only for this verse, this person built up. This was all building up the scene, building up the situation. Achche se built up kiya, now he's putting the right thing, whatever he wanted to ask. So here Hiranyakashipu is teaching us, you know, how to get the work done. And I think most of us are already masters in this. We know. Glorify nicely and get the work done. Now, purport. After being created from the navel of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, Lord Brahma, the original created living being within the universe, created many other different types of living entities to reside in this universe. Therefore, from the beginning of creation, the living entities were born of a superior living entity. Ultimately, Krishna is the supreme living being, the father of all others. Aham Bija Pradapita. He is the seed-giving father of all living entities. Thus far, Hiranyakashipu has adored Lord Brahma as the supreme personality of Godhead and is expected to become immortal by the benediction of Lord Brahma. Now, however, having come to understand that even Lord Brahma is not immortal, because at the end of millennium, Lord Brahma will also die, Hiranyakashipu is very carefully asking him for benedictions that will be almost as good as immortality. His first proposal is that he not be killed by any different forms of living entities created by Lord Brahma within this material world. So again, in this particular verse, what Hiranyakashipu is doing is, he's telling Brahma, abhi tak jo bhi bola maine, sab jhoot hai. Why? Because you're not immortal. You're not immortal. If you're immortal, then you can make me also immortal. But you yourself are not immortal. So Brahma, I'm asking you, so all these lines widen. Now he's asking that, so Brahma, I'm asking you what? Let me not die from any of the living entities created by you. So this is the truth. So living entities, or this body which is there, that is created by Brahma. So that is, you know, Brahma's creation. He's the engineer. He put all the earth, water, fire, air, ether, and he has created, you know, different planetary systems and, you know, various bodies of living entities. But living entity in general, when we talk about the spirit soul, Krishna has put them here in this material world. So he say, Aham Bija Pradapita. So these living entities are like seeds, and Krishna has put them in this material world, in this universe, because they desire to. And now in the next, this is the, these benedictions are very famous. I'm sure many of you might have watched some movie of Prahlad, and in your childhood, your grandmothers might have told you these stories. But then the philosophical aspect is what we're covering here in Srimad Bhagavatam. That makes it very interesting. Grant me that I not die within any residence or outside any residence, during the day time or at night, nor on the ground or in the sky. Grant me that my death not be brought by any living being, any being other than those created by you, nor by any weapon, nor by any human being or animal. Look at the intelligence of this person. How intelligent he is. The sare cases cover kar liye. Whatever exists in the material world, he has covered all the cases. But he does not know that if he is Teda, if he is trying to act, you know, like a cheater, but he does not know there is a greatest cheater already existing. He does not know. He feels that, you know, he is cheating Brahma, but then the greatest cheater will come. The greatest cheater will come and he'll cheat. In fact, when Narasimha Dev manifested in front of Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyakashipu was wondering, hey, Brahma ne kabhi banaya isko? Because he was under the assumption that everything is made by Brahma. So he's thinking, are, I don't know, where is this coming from? Half man, half lion? Kaza. Then finally, at the end, he concludes, maybe it is Vishnu who has come in fancy dress so that he hides from me, but I will kill him. So that was the mode of Hiranyakashipu. So here we see that Hiranyakashipu very nicely, very intelligently has asked benediction. Very intelligently has asked for benediction. Agar benediction puchna to aise puchna hai. Living entities of this world, human beings of this world, their benedictions are so chutku, like them only. Promotion, chutku. Then a good partner, chutku. Kids, chutku. The kids are anyways chutkus only. Yes. And then maybe a bungalow here or a car or what. Everything is small. Look at the benediction that Hiranyakashipu is asking. See, whenever we ask something material, so we are like demons. So let's become a big demon like this. We should ask this, that let me not die in the residence, let me not die outside the residence, in the sky, below the sky, whatever. And then finally, when this happens, then Supreme Personality of Godhead will come and kill us. No, this is a good benediction to ask. At least we'll see Krishna face to face when he comes to kill us. But we are so engrossed, so absorbed in our day-to-day life that the only thing that we can ask is all this. In fact, Prabhupada says one pastime where an old lady was carrying a bunch of wood. And when she was carrying that, so that fell down. And she called out loudly, "Oh, Krishna!" She called out like that. And for her amazement, Krishna came. Because she called out so intensely, Krishna manifested in front of her. And he asked her, "Oh, tell me, what do you want? You called me with so much of anxiety from your heart. So what should I do for you?" You know what that lady said? "Please keep the log of wood on my head." This is what she said. Can you believe? Krishna disappeared. He did that and disappeared. This is what is our situation. We come to bhakti and then, you know, same thing we do here also. "Krishna, please help me. I'm really in difficulty. I'm really in problem. Please remove all this problem." And sometimes devotees say that, "I'm feeling very peaceful in bhakti, Prabhuji." Then in my mind, I keep saying, "Don't worry." Don't worry. When you progress in bhakti, all peace will go away. So many times devotees, many newcomers, they come to practice bhakti or start chanting the holy name because they want peace in life. Because the life is gone into so many pieces, they want to put it together and be peaceful. So they want peace, so they come, you know, to bhakti. And sometimes, you know, some people are depressed, so they come to bhakti. There are some people who want, you know, some material aspect, so they come to bhakti. But finally, you know, one thing that we have to understand is anyone who comes to bhakti, that person will, you know, surely become a devotee. He has no option because he has come in touch with Krishna, right? So here in this, when it comes to asking for benediction, that's what I was talking about. When it comes to asking for benediction, we should understand what to ask, you know, when we are in bhakti, you know, when we come to devotional service. we shouldn't get swayed away, you know, with different winds of this material world. Maybe a wind of promotion, maybe a wind of fame, name, prestige, beauty, whatever. We shouldn't get swayed away with all that. We cannot do that. After coming to this rare human form, where we can easily attain Krishna, easily we can attain Krishna in this rare human form. Especially the ones who have come to Bhakti and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, it's very easy to attain Krishna the same lifetime. So Prabhupada says again and again in the purports, attain Krishna this very lifetime. That's what he says. Don't take chance. So when we come to Bhakti, the only benediction that we have to ask Krishna is, I want you. Only you. I don't want anything else. Aapko jo lena hai le lijiye. Take whatever you want. Whatever you want, you take it away. But I want you. I don't want anything else. Then Krishna would give allurements. Huh? Krishna is very, very clever. Very clever. Then, you know, he'll say, heavenly planet chahiye. But this Dhruva Loka, see, Dhruva Loka is also nice. You know, it shines so nicely. And all the lifetime you try to be a star, so better you go to a star. The devotee is like, na naka prashtam, I don't want this. Nahi, don't trick me, Krishna, don't trick me. And then Krishna says, theek hai chalo, ye nahi. Brahma Loka chahiye, Brahma Loka. Brahma Loka is so nice. If you want, you'll also get four heads. You can think more now to do sense gratification. Brahma Loka, very nice. Even during partial annihilation, Brahma Loka is not annihilated. Brahma Loka. And the devotee says, na paryameshtam, I don't want this also. Then Krishna thinks, and then you know, Krishna is saying, kuch to karke test karna hai, isko achhe se test karna hai. This test Krishna puts, everyone is put in this test. And then Krishna says, do you want to become the ruler of the entire world? Maybe, you know, for us, that we might not be we cannot comprehend that. Maybe, you know, Krishna would say, you want villa? You want 2-3 villas? You want a big, you know, farmhouse? And at that time, the devotee says, na sarvabhaumam, I don't want all this. I don't want to rule anything. I don't want to own anything. You want followers? Are bahut sare followers milenge. Then everyone will come to you. Autograph please. And you can sign. You'll feel so nice. Na sarvabhaumam, I don't want to control anyone. I don't want any followers. Na dhanam, na janam, na sundari. Na janam, I don't want any janam. I don't want any followers. And then Krishna says, very clever. Yoga Siddhi. You want to become famous? You want to become famous? I'll give you Yoga Siddhi. By which you'll be able to fly. You'll be able to cry. You'll be able to walk on water. And you can do anything by getting this Yoga Siddhi. And then the devotee says, na Yoga Siddhi. I don't want this. And then Krishna says, chalo. I've tested you in all the possible ways. Do you want to merge in me? You want liberation? You want to merge in me? Sayujya Mukti chahiye? Sayujya Mukti. And then the devotee says, apunarbhavam va. Nahi chahiye. I don't want liberation. Then Krishna is like, bhai, kya chahiye? Bata de abhi. What do you want? What do you want? Tell me. And then he says, samanjasatva virahaya kangshe. I don't want anything that will take me away from your lotus feet. I just want you. I just want you. That's what a devotee says. So we should know what to ask. We shouldn't be unintelligent saying, ye chahiye, wo chahiye, ye chahiye, wo chahiye. And Krishna, and when we ask Krishna, you know, I want this, anything material, Krishna is very happy. Oh, very nice, take. Only when we say, Krishna, I want you, then Krishna will make a, you know, blank face. Puch liya. You came back to your senses so early. Nahin, ya bhi nahin. Abhi, let me put you to more trial. Maya Shakti, chalo lo, isko kone mein lo. Take him to a corner and, you know, do all testing possible. All that is impossible. So at that time, Maya Shakti will give dhanam, lot of money. Then Sundarim, beautiful spouse or whatever, beautiful girls, or for females it will be opposite gender, handsome ones. And then lots and lots of fame and lots of people around. And then the Maya Shakti, you know, she tests in all the possible ways. And then Krishna is asking the Maya Shakti. He's asking Durga, kuch hua? Then Durga, she says, kuch nahi ho raha hai. He's chanting all the time. He's hearing Bhagavatam all the time. Iska kuch nahi ho sakta. Aap hi le lo isko. So when after going through all the tests possible, finally when the devotee says, I don't want anything, I want you. I don't want anything, I want you. At that time, Krishna picks that devotee and he takes him back home, back to Godhead. A very simple analogy which I always give is, a small child in the cradle is crying. And now the mother is busy cooking. Now she wants to complete her cooking. So what the mother does is, she gets one toy. I'm sure you might have seen those toys. So you can put in the cradle and just turn it. So she comes and she puts the toy and she turns the toy. And the child who was crying for the mother's milk, he forgets that what he wants. And then he looks and, very nice. He's enjoying what is turning. Now again, after some time, he starts crying. Then he remembers, I want milk. And then again, he starts crying. And then the mother comes and, you know, in that, when she had turned, at that time, she had not switched on the light. Now she switches on the light also. Now various different colored lights are coming. And again, the baby is seeing, he forgets that he wants milk. And again, so nice, so nice. He's enjoying smiling. And after some time, again, he'll realize, I want milk. Again, he starts crying loudly. Then the mother comes and she switches on the sound also now. Then very nice sound is coming and the child is like immersed. And light, moving, sound, everything is there. But again, he realizes, I want milk. I want milk. And then he cries like anything. He intensely cries now. And the mother changes the toy. And he forgets again. He forgets again when the toy is changed. He looks at the new toy which has come. And the mother goes inside. Again, he starts crying after some time. She comes. She does all the possible ways, keeps changing toy after toy. And finally, even after changing multiple toys, when the child keeps crying and crying and crying and crying, and he's not stopping to cry, at that time, the mother says, theek hai, chalo, aajo. I'll feed you milk. She gives up all the kitchen work. She switches off the burner and she comes here, comes to the cradle. She picks up the child and she starts feeding them milk. This is what is the process of going back home, back to Godhead. Where Krishna will test all the possible ways. He'll give all the allurements possible. All the allurements possible. The thing that we can think of and those things which we cannot think of also. All the possible allurements, and then Krishna says, kya chahiye, lotus feet or this? And most of the time, we'll choose, I want this. Krishna says, theek hai, tathastu, go ahead. The day when you only anchor for my lotus feet, then you can come to me. So it is very important that when we are praying to the Lord, we shouldn't get tricked. We shouldn't get tricked. Even when we have many good things happening in our life, we should tell Krishna that don't cheat me. I know you're the biggest cheater. Don't cheat me. I want you only. Don't do all this to me. Okay, I'm happy that you have given that to me, but don't cheat me. I want you. That is what I desire. I don't desire anything else. So this is what is a prayer of a devotee, because a devotee does not hanker for anything but Krishna. And such a devotee is called serious devotee. Such a devotee is called sincere devotee. But here we see Hiranyakashipu, stupid, what he's asking. Everything is material. The glorification was material. Now the benedictions are also material. So when anyone asks for a material benediction, so we are actually competing with Hiranyakashipu. We are Chutku Hiranyakashipu at that time. Small. So this point has to be understood, that what is the use of asking material benediction? Even Hiranyakashipu asked for material benediction and he was skilled. He was skilled in no time. He did tapasya for many celestial years and he was skilled in few years. He just enjoyed for some 7-8 years max he might have enjoyed. So look at this. This is a very important point, that what to ask, not to the Lord. What to ask. Only thing that we have to ask is, I want you. I want your lotus feet. I always want to reside at your lotus feet. I don't want anything else in this world. So when a devotee comes to that prayer, then actually the test will start. Sometimes devotees say that, Prabhuji, Lord is testing me. No testing. It's all karma as of now. It's all karma coming. When will Lord test? When the person goes to an extent of saying, I don't want anything. Kuch nahi chahiye. I just want you. Tabhi Lord will start testing. When we are asking for material benedictions, what Lord will also test? Lord will say, you are still in junior KG. You finish, then you come, and then when you qualify your graduation, post-graduation, phir aage dekhte aage chale. Abhi ABCD seekho. A for apple, B for ball. Usme raho. So So when we say that Lord is testing, you know, we should be very sure that Lord is not testing. It's my karma that is coming to me. Lord is not testing. And when we're asking benedictions, we should be careful what we are asking. Okay, now, if we are really not on that platform, we can ask for material benediction, no problem. But the highest thing that we can ask to the Lord is His own shelter. That's what we ask for. Let's see what Prabhupada says in the purport. Hiranyakashipu was very much afraid of Vishnu's becoming an animal to kill him because his brother had been killed by Vishnu when the Lord took the shape of a boar. He was therefore very careful to guard against all kinds of animals. But even without taking the shape of an animal, Vishnu could kill him by hurling his Sudarshan Chakra, which can go anywhere without the Lord's physical presence. Therefore, Hiranyakashipu was careful to guard against all kinds of weapons. He guarded against all kinds of time, space and countries because he was afraid of being killed by someone else in another land. There are many other planets higher and lower, and therefore he prayed for benediction of not being killed by any resident of any of these planets. There are three original deities, Brahma, Vishnu and Maheshwara. Hiranyakashipu knew that Brahma could not kill him, but he also wanted not to be killed by Lord Vishnu or Lord Shiva. Consequently, he prayed for such a benediction. Thus, Hiranyakashipu thought himself securely protected from all kind of death caused by any living entity within this universe. He also carefully guarded against natural death, which might take place within his house or outside the house. So, Hiranyakashipu tried his best to utilize his full intelligence to make sure that he does not die. He's making sure by all this, by doing all these things. But still, you know, one thing is very clear, that a person can never ever escape death. Never. Even if he's extremely intelligent, he can never escape death. And here we see that Hiranyakashipu is trying to be extremely duplicit. Something else is there in the heart and something else is posing outside. A devotee should be very, very careful not to get into this cycle, or not to get into this quicksand of what? Of being duplicit. We cannot be duplicit in front of the Lord. Krishna is there in our heart. He knows everything what we're thinking. We cannot fool Krishna. Here, Hiranyakashipu tried fooling Brahma. But he might be successful trying to fool Brahma, but he can never fool Krishna. Never. Right? Similarly, in our case also, this is what we need to understand, that when it comes to being a devotee, one quality of simplicity is very, very important. When we go in front of the Lord, we are simple. When we are living our life and we call ourselves as bhakta, devotee, we have to lead a simple life. And what do you mean by simplicity? Simplicity means no duplicity. Something outside and something inside. No. Whatever we are inside, we are outside also. And whatever we are outside, we are inside also. Outside, we are trying to wear dhoti kurta tilak. Inside also, we should be devotee. It's not that inside we are a demon and outside we are wearing this dhoti kurta tilak to get some work done. No. This will not work. Anyone who is sincerely aspiring to attain Krishna has to somehow or the other become simple. And we will see how difficult it is to become simple. It is not simple to become simple. It's very difficult. Very difficult to become simple. Because from so many lifetimes, we have become so complicated. So complicated. It's like those wired earphones. When kept at one place for a long time, it becomes entangled. Right? And then you take a lot of time to separate it and make it proper straight. That's what is our case currently. We are completely entangled in ourselves. We're so complicated. And simple means straight. So it will take time. It will take time to unwind and make it straight. And even when it's straight and left for some time, again, that's what happens with us. When we are in bhakti, somehow we are trying to become straight, somehow. And then when you go out of devotee association, again, same. Again, entangled. So from many, many lifetimes, we have been so complicated. Now, when we hear about simplicity, it's like a nightmare. Or a bapre, simple hona padega. Aise kaise simple ho jaye? And you'll see, when we start practicing to become simple, it will be very, very complicated. Very, very, very complicated, because we are complicated. We are complicated. But no option, but we have to become simple. We have to. We have to somehow or the other try consciously that we don't be duplicit. Something outside, something else inside, speaking something, something else in the mind. Kitna complicated setup hai. And all glories to the corporate, which is adding ghee to the fire of complication. And that's what is thought. Have a nice plastic smile on the face. Wear this sort of mask when you come to this meeting. Wear this sort of mask when you come to party. Wear this sort of mask when you're working. Are kya matlab? Itna sara mask pehne hai, khud ko hi nahi dekh payenge after some time. We'll not be able to see who are we. So now, what do you mean by devotional services? Removing all the mask. Removing all the mask and be what we are. And then when we go in front of Krishna, then Krishna will recognize, ha, theek, you're my creation only. When we wear so many masks, even Krishna might get puzzled. Isko to maine nahi banaya, kahan se ban gaya hai? So becoming simple is very, very important. And by practicing bhakti and consciously trying not to be duplicit, at least in devotee circle. Corporate, I don't know. Whatever is needful, that has to be done there. Diplomacy or whatever. But when it comes to at least devotee circle, we have to be straightforward. We have to be humble. We have to be simple. We cannot be duplicit in devotee association. We will be lost. We'll be lost if we become even duplicit, even in devotee association. Just imagine, you're speaking to your guru, and instead of telling what problems we are facing, we are just trying to pose that how great I am. Then we are stupid. We are gone case. Well, we are not understanding. We are in front of a doctor and I'm supposed to tell what are my symptoms. And I'm trying to hide those symptoms and saying, all is well. The doctor will say, So what do you mean by straightforwardness? What do you mean by simplicity is, whatever we are, we have to be that in front of our guru and take guidance for the same. We cannot be duplicit even devotee association. Anyone who is duplicit in devotee association is Atmahana, he's killer of himself. He's killer of his own bhakti, because after some time, he'll not be able to practice bhakti much. Right? So that is the reason it is said that we have to be as we are. Like we should be whatever we are within. We have to take it out when we are coming in front of our guru, when we come in front of our superior. And when we are in devotee association, we try our best to be in service mode. That's what we try to be. So in this way, Hiranyakashipu, you see, what did Hiranyakashipu do? Hiranyakashipu tried being duplicit, tried being extra smart. I forgot to mention about this. When we come in front of guru, no extra smart business. As soon as we try to be extra smart, now guru says, anyways, you're smart. And you have a smartphone also. You have learned to become extra smart from your smartphone. Or, I mean, the world in general. Okay. Anyways, you're well-to-do. Go ahead. You can do. We try to be extra smart in front of the guru. The guru says, okay, go ahead. Do whatever you want. But when we are simple, when we are dependent on the guru for his instructions, when we're dependent on Krishna, so at that time, they actually take our charge. If we are extremely extra smart, then they'll just give it a man. Go ahead, do whatever you want. And that is the most abominable situation, where the guru gives up and Krishna also gives up. Saying, okay, enjoy your life. Enjoy, Madi. Enjoy. Right? So here we see Hiranyakashipu. He tried being extra smart in front of Brahma. Extra smart. He knew very well Brahma cannot give immortality. So he puts everything together. And he says, mujhe ye do, wo do, ye nahi chahiye, wo nahi chahiye. And then he puts everything together and then gives it to Brahma. And Brahma says, tathastu. Because Brahma is fearless. He knows very well. Maine kuch galti kiya to aayenge Bhagwan. Vishnu will come. Many times I have done mistake. He has come. This time also he will come. So I'll give tathastu. That's what Brahma will do now in future verses. So hope there are many takeaways from today's class. Hope you have noted it down. And hope you'll be able to implement the same. Hare Krishna. So I'd like to take some questions now. We have 10 minutes. If this would have been with Sri Ram, he would have told the truth to Yashoda Ma and then no fun. Yeah, yeah. Firstly, Sri Ram would not eat dirt. He's Maryada Purushottam, ekdam sida. He'll eat only whatever maybe Kaushalya was giving. So, yeah, Sri Ram, straightforward person. So it is said that when it comes to Lord Ram, follow Lord Ram, and when it comes to Krishna, relish Krishna's pastimes. Don't do other way around. Problem ho jayega ekdam. Krishna does not have a soul, right? Or he is completely a soul. Krishna is spiritual. Krishna is Sachid Ananda Vigraha. He is completely spiritual. He is a Chidghan. He is Chidghan, completely spiritual. From top to bottom, is completely spiritual. So he is super soul. He is not soul, he is super soul. He is supreme soul. So his body and he himself, there is no difference between the two. This is what we have to understand. For us, our body, this body is material and we are spirit. So there is a huge difference. But when it comes to the Supreme Personality, there is no difference. I was reading one message in which it was asked from Prabhupada, who is more important, Lord Krishna or Lord Chaitanya? Prabhupada answered with one word, Radha. Why we don't take directly shelter of lotus feet of Radharani to go back home, back to Godhead? On lighter note, maybe one have to face less test from Krishna also. Please forgive. Okay. Yes, no, Radharani is our mother. So finally, we devotees are actually devotees of Radharani only. Yes. But then, we are Kaliyuga Jivas, right? So it's difficult to understand who is Srimati Radharani, what is the relationship with Krishna. So better, we take shelter of Lord Chaitanya, who is Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahyanya, combined incarnation of Lord Chaitanya. So this answer that Prabhupada has given is Prabhupada in his original spiritual identity is saying Srimati Radharani. Yes, but when it comes to people in general, ideally, when we grow in bhakti, advance in bhakti, we'll take shelter of Srimati Radharani because after all, she is our mother. But then now in this neophyte stage, it's Lord Krishna. Nicely he lit us and will take us. But yes, we can offer prayers to Srimati Radharani saying, oh Radharani, please recommend my name to Krishna. Yes. He's not listening to me. At least you recommend. And Radharani is very, very merciful. She is mother. And she would say, theek hai, chalo. And then when Radharani and Krishna combine together, Lord Chaitanya. So Lord Chaitanya is like more merciful. Even we don't ask, he'll give us. We have to just go and stand in front of him. He'll ask you, I hope. And we'll say, kuch nahi chahiye. Nahi, nahi, nahi. Abhi aayo to leke jao. That is Lord Chaitanya. Yes. So, Mahamantra not contains Radha. Mahamantra contains Srimati Radharani's name. That is Hare. So, Hare is Srimati Radharani. So, every time we're chanting Hare, that's Srimati Radharani. We're calling out for Radha. So, Mahamantra is Radhe Krishna, Radhe Krishna. Krishna Krishna, Radhe Radhe. Radhe Shyam, Radhe Shyam, Shyam Shyam, Radhe Radhe. So that's how this Mahamantra is. But we shouldn't chant this. We have to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Why? Because that is what is given in Parampara to all of us. So we have to chant that. Oh, today's attendance is 72. Nice. Devta got Amrit. Then why they fall under birth and death? See, this Amrit that is there. So ideally, when it comes to this Amrit, their lifespan has increased. They have not become immortal. When we see, when human beings look at them, so they are immortal. Because we have a very short span of life, right? So when you have a very short span of life, so at that time, when we look at such people living for 311 trillion, 40 billion years, that will be like immortal. So they are actually immortal when it comes to comparison with human beings, but they are mortal. So this Amrita, what it has done is, it has increased their lifespan. When does Krishna stop asking Maya Devi to test us or pull us away from his internal energy? That's what, till the point we are not fully convinced what we want in life. Till the point we are not convinced about we want Krishna only. This word only, O-N-L-Y. Only, this word in caps and bold is very, very important. Because when we are exclusively taking shelter of Krishna, that is the point. Now, when Krishna would say, enough, enough, Maya Shakti, aajo, piche aajo. He is my child. Then Krishna takes over complete charge. Till then, yes. And also, if you properly see, it's not Maya Shakti who's pulling us back. We are actually catching hold of Maya Shakti and saying, chalo, we'll go away from Krishna. We are actually holding Maya Shakti, as I already said. So they will leave Maya Shakti. That is the day, you know, when Krishna would actually accept us. And what do you mean by leaving Maya Shakti? Telling Krishna that I don't want anything else but you. And that is called as giving up or giving up sense gratification or taking shelter of Maya Shakti. So hope this answers your question. So one line answer is, the day when we come to this conclusion that I don't want anything but Krishna, that is the day when Krishna would stop all the tests, and he'll take us back. Yes. Anything else? Okay. So thank you very much.